Thank you, Sister Carmel. And truly, the Lord will make that way right on time. Loving through the heart. Loving through the heart. And we take note in verse 7 here, which says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed." When the Passover must be killed. The time for Jesus, his giving his life, offering his life for us, was at hand. What a time that must have been. For those close to Jesus, they would have felt what a sad time it is, a difficult time for us if we're going to lose him. For Jesus, he no doubt would be saying, it's the time for me to display the love even that I have for the world, even in a greater way, even in a most powerful way. No doubt in the spiritual realm, it was a time of great rejoicing because the redemption of man would take place. And so heaven no doubt might have been rejoicing, but what a time for those who were present those moments. For Jesus, at such a time, we know one would generally look forward for support. And if that's something, you know, human beings would try to do, if someone has suffered a loss or they're going through a tough time, would try to be there for them. Be that comfort. Be that strength. And here Jesus, as he's going to face this time, when he'd be crucified, he chose those moments. He was there with his disciples. He is going to institute the Lord's Supper, this New Testament. And it's a time as well, while he's showing forth his love, there were many situations that could have brought hurt to his heart. Think about your journey there a while. And from verse 21 and 22, it tells us, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayed me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But unto the man by whom he is betrayed." And so we will notice his loving over the heart from Judas's action. Judas would betray him. Jesus knew that. And yet in this table setting, in the time of this fellowship, when Jesus was there with all his disciples, Judas was there as well. If we had such power of knowing beforehand and such a one as Judas was there, I believe we would have found something to exclude him from that gathering. Something. Either send him somewhere to do something. Something that he would miss that time of fellowship. But Jesus, his love is beyond many situations that would bring hurt to him. He would love beyond that. And so with Judas there, he's going to make it known. Yes, even in this group, as I'm loving you, as I'm preparing to display the love of God for this world, one of you will betray me. And love is still there in my heart, and I'm loving. I believe this is a time giving the one an opportunity maybe to say, let me back out. Let me not hurt you, Lord. Because you are displaying this love. Loving over the hurt from Judas's action. Jesus still there loving them. And it triggered off something among them when they were saying, is it I, Lord? I think about maybe if it was our setting. Sometimes we don't ask that particular question. Is it I? We might ask. I wonder if it's that person, you know? I wonder if it must be she. He looked that. Perhaps he's the one, Lord. But they said, is it I? A time to examine themselves. Am I hurting the Lord? But despite he was going through this moment of hurt, he was still loving them. Yes, yes. He was still going to go all the way. He would still grant them the opportunity that they could turn to him. Allowing them to know that even at the end, there's a way out for you still. Amen. Hallelujah. Even if you should fail, you should falter, there is a way out because I love you. And he wanted them to know that regardless how hurtful the situation is, I'm not going to hold that. I'm not going to embrace that and let that infest my life. But I love you in the midst of the heart. In the midst of what's going on, in the midst of what I'm facing, in the midst of looking at Judas who have been there with me for these years. And at the crucial time would come and not even say that's the one betray with a kiss. But Jesus would still be loving. Loving in the time of hurt. Loving at that crucial and critical hour. Knowing my hour has come. He would allow this love to remain in his heart and be there. Loving also over hurt as they fought for a superior position. Verses 23 and 24. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? Jesus going to the cross, preparing to die for the sins of the world. And they're loving his disciples. And then what displaying to them or allowing them to know one of you would betray me. But you read some of the other passages, you would know. He would let them know, or he allowed them to know, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. Hallelujah. I'm going to live. But here it is, such a situation. And in the midst of that, I wonder how hurtful it might be to us if he said, I'm going to die. I'm going through this. And what they could gather from all this. He's going to die and maybe establish his kingdom. Then I want to be great in that kingdom. Bypassing what he's going to face for us. You'd want to be careful if someone they're going through hurt. They're going through difficulties. Maybe what you would say, you know, during that time. Maybe tempted to even give some something that might cause people to laugh, but no, you're careful because someone maybe they're going through their hard and difficult time. But here Jesus, he is going through the hard, already pointing out, yes, one of you would betray me. And then the next thing, when they would slightly get over that, they start thinking. And you know, it was started even with James and John. I want to be great. Lord, make us great when you come into this kingdom you're building. Bypassing that moment when he would face the tough time, when they should support him. Then when they should say, I'm praying for you, Jesus. We're going to be there. We won't leave you. We won't forsake you. But then is when they would fight for the position when he would come into his kingdom. And it might have started, yeah, with James and John, but what? There was strife also among them. Maybe that the others, they didn't take the first jump in saying that. Maybe if Jesus was to say, okay, seeing you ask, I'll grant it to you, maybe think about that might have break up the whole discipleship story. Because the others, then what would become of us? But here, even in this time, Jesus loving in the midst of the heart. When he could think about, look what you are thinking when I'm about to face this difficult hour, be crucified by the Romans, go through the pain and the agony, and hear what you're looking for. Hear what you're fighting for, wanting to be in a superior position. But he would still love them. He would still try to point the way out so that they could have the right perspective of things, even in difficult times. And so often the disciples, they missed it, what he was really saying. And they would hold on to the thing they wanted. So much like us today, we often miss the critical thing in what Jesus might be saying. Because when Jesus would be saying, yes, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. I'm going to establish my kingdom. It's not for them then to just, okay, we want to be the superior one in the kingdom. Like later coming to the end, when he was telling them about the scrip and the sword. First, you went without and you were provided the thing, but now go with these things. All they could see out of that was in the last verse. They said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. All they could see in it, if you mention about this script and all we see, we could get sword here. And perhaps try to fight and defend. And Jesus said, what? It is enough. He still loves us when we do not understand. When we don't quite understand what he's pointing out to us. When he's bidding us and leading us into a direction. When we would grow. When we would be strengthened. When we would be stronger in him. But we are going our own way. He would still love us. When we turn our backs on him. And what we do might hurt him. He's still loving us. When we like the disciples might say, oh, I want to be the superior one. He still says, I love you and I'm not calling you to that. That's the Gentiles. That's what they would do. Seek for the headship. But do like me. I'm here and you call me master. But guess what? I'm the one serving you. I'm the one when all you come up and you say, okay. I am the one. You say, okay. All of you are it. I'm going to put on the apron, what have you, and wash the feet. Loving over the heart, in the time of horror. Hurtful situation, hurtful setting. The deep within that love that he has could be in his people. That regardless what would come to us, we would still be able to love the other. We'll still be able to strengthen the other. we'll still be able to maybe give guidance like Jesus did out of what you're going through, that you might be able to grow and be strong in the Lord. Love over hurt as they fought for the superior position. 28 to 29, 30 says, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father had appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In the midst of this and hurtful situation and the way they were acting, he said, I'm appointing a kingdom. You will be there in a kingdom. I'm not just doing and going through all I'm going through for myself, but I'm establishing the kingdom that you are a part of. And you will be able to rise and rule in that kingdom and sit on throne. When he could look at the action and say, I disqualify all of you because of the way you're acting. But he says, no, I love you still. And what I've planned for you, I still have them. And I'm going to help you through so that you could inherit this. Love through helping them to focus on the future. Because I'm establishing the kingdom, and the kingdom is for you. Amen. Love and establishing their focus on the kingdom, that I remain true to God. My eyes will be fixed on him. My determination would be to press on, loving him, serving him, and going through with him all the way. Directed them to the kingdom. Regardless what he had to face, he kept his eyes on the prize, on the goal, and he was helping them through it also. Loving in the face of Peter's denial. From 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both in prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Maybe that could be one of the really hurtful situations. Peter, who would have had such great experience with Jesus, and Jesus would help him through. And as he think, I could stand and do whatever for you, Jesus, he's saying, you're going to go out there. And in my most vulnerable moment, or the time when I could need you the most, you're going to say, I do not know him. If you're placed there and your good friend, you know, you just overheard your good friend telling somebody, maybe she or he, you know, you done with them long time. But Jesus, knowing Peter would even deny him, said, Peter, with love in his heart, loving in the time of this even denial, said, I've prayed for you. And I'm praying for you. Because no, Satan, the enemy, he's out to sift you like wheat, to destroy you, that you'd be nothing at the end. And even though it seems as though you're failing me, I am praying for you that you would be strong. That even you deny, you're going to return. You wouldn't stay out. I believe such opportunity was there for Judas as well. After he had betrayed, and then when that sorrow came, instead of allowing it to just maybe overcome him, take his life, he might have just returned and said, Jesus, I can't believe what I've done, but pardon me. This love, no doubt, could have reached to him, because such great love he had. But there was a woe unto the one who would do that, because they would feel it so deep. I've gone so far down, I can't rise again. I can't come back in communication and fellowship with the Lord. But we could. We could turn to him and his great love. He would love us through the hurt. Even love when the enemy is out to destroy us. When the enemy is there to sift him as wheat, to destroy him. But Jesus praying for him and then said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art what? Converted, strengthen the brethren. Because I'm praying that you be strong, you would be strengthened now, and you have a task the hereafter to strengthen the brethren. When the love of God has come upon us, it's not just for us to say, I am strong, but to strengthen each other. Strengthen the brethren. Yeah, in sometime in hurtful situation, in difficult times, that we could still look to the Lord, thank him for his love, and say, God, help me to love my brother. Help me to love my sister. Talking about loving through the hurt. Loving through the pain. It's much easier in that time to say, I give up. Not me. I wash my hands. You know all the terms. Done. But Jesus loved through all these situations. And pay the price. And get when the ones who came to him restore them. And then he was able to ask Peter later down, lovest thou me? You know. Because Peter knew of the Lord's love for him. And Peter was able to say, you know that I love you. Let's love the Lord. Amen. And let's be willing to love. Amen. Through the heart. As well, let's bow our heads. Father, we come before your throne, and we could only maybe imagine what you faced, because you had to go through this cruel time, but you loved all the way through. So today we could know, even according to your word, for you so loved the world, for you so loved us. My name there, that God, you give Jesus, that he would die for us. Thank you for such great love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this. Oh God, let this love fill the hearts of your people today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And you see the time when we would partake in this Lord's Supper, in this communion time. It's a time when we would reflect and know and remember the love of God. When you know and love the Lord, and we could draw close to him and love him more and more. Oh God, let this love fill our hearts. Let his love fill our lives. As we partake each month, let us be reminded, even if it's not said, we would remind ourselves of the great and wonderful love of Almighty God.